Hallelujah. Great to see you in the house of the Lord today. I hope you're glad to be here. Amen. Praise God. Turn in your Bibles to Leviticus 23, 9 through 14. Hallelujah. Just be reading out of the NIV. Amen. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter in the land I am going to give you and you reap its harvest, bring to the priest a sheaf of the first grain you harvest. He is to wave the sheaf before the Lord, so it will be accepted on your behalf. The priest is to wave it on the day after the Sabbath. On the day you wave the sheaf, you must sacrifice as burnt offering to the Lord a lamb a year old without defect. Together with its grain offering of 2/10 of an ephah in the finest flour mixed with olive oil, a food offering presented to the Lord, a pleasing aroma, and its drink offering of the quarter of the hin of wine. You must not eat any bread or roasted or new grain until the very day you bring this offering to your God. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come wherever you live." Amen. Praise God. We're gonna talk today about offering to God your first fruits. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. We must put God first in everything we do. Amen? It's important. God wants our undivided attention. Amen? He doesn't want anything else coming before Him. No other God, nothing in your life to be put before Him. Amen. Feasts were important to the nation of Israel because they were commanded of the Lord. Amen. God wanted them to have feasts that He instructed them in. Passover, there was Passover, there was Pentecost, and booths are names that identified the three major feasts. However, leisure festivals were associated with and some of part of the major feast. The Feast of Unleavened Bread was a week-long feast following Passover. And the Day of First Fruits was one day, a festival on the second day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The first sheaf of the new crop of barley was presented to as a wave offering before the Lord. It was a public acknowledgement that all things come from God and belong to Him. Amen. It's God takes care of us, doesn't He? So all these things, they believed God took care of them and all these things belong to Him. It is important to remember that God never does anything by accident. You're here today. It's not an accident. Amen? Nothing you do is by accident. God is in control. Amen. Who's in office today in our nation is not an accident. It's in fulfilling a plan of God. Amen. God is in control. It may seem like, oh Lord, why are you letting this one run? Why are you letting this one be in charge? It's to fulfill God's ultimate plan. Amen? The world may seem like, oh man, this nation's going to, you know what, in a handbasket. But no, God's in control. Amen? Do you think God's worried about how this nation is going? Not at all. Not at all. He is in control, and he can create storms that can take care of anything. Amen? He started this earth over several times. Amen? To God, he can just start it over tomorrow. But he's chosen a people that he loves and cares for, and he's going to ride out some inconveniences because of his love for humanity. So God, never forget, God is in control, even in your worst life situation. Amen? God's in control. You may be thinking, wow, man, I don't know what you're doing to me, God, but we need to know he's in control. Amen. God is God. He can do anything. Though we are no longer required to celebrate the Feast of First Fruits as the Israelites celebrated it, the principle of the first fruits remain. Amen. God didn't come to throw away everything that the Israelites did. Amen. He's taking those principles that he taught them to bring about his perfect, unchanging plan. Amen. And if we can get a hold of these concepts, God's Spirit can work mightily in our lives. Amen. The Lord requires that we give him our best and our first. All right? That means I'm going to do my best for the Lord. I'm not going to come half-heartedly and do the service of the Lord. Amen? I'm going to put all of my energy in what I do for the Lord. That's putting him first and putting my best foot forward to do the things of God. We do not have an option to give him just anything. Amen? We can't be giving him our leftovers and our scraps, the things that we take out to the hog pen and slop the hogs with. Amen? That's leftovers. That's stuff that we just didn't want to eat. Maybe it spoiled in the, you know, you leave them too long in the little bowl in the refrigerator and green things start growing on it and it's like, ah! We must not give God our leftovers, our scraps. He deserves our best. Amen. It defies common sense to put God in any place other than first. Number one. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whether you do, do it all for the glory of God. Amen? We must put Jesus Christ first in our life and put our best foot forward when we're doing it. Amen. The first fruits of increase of our earnings belong to God. Ooh, it's quiet in here. Anybody agree with that? Amen. Because God is in control of my job, my job situation, the blessings that flow my way. We must follow his instruction. Most people in the development companies of the world are resigned to the fact that government will take a portion of their income before they ever see it. Amen? Through withholding taxes and tax collecting agencies are not willing to wait until another bill is paid and obligations of theirs is first paid. The tax man doesn't wait. He wants his money first. He takes it out of your top of your check every week. Regardless, amen, collecting agencies are not willing to be last in your life. Amen? Rather, we must pay taxes first. Uncle Sam always gets his money. Amen? From our gas prices that just got a big old tax. Amen? The prices of gas is going through the roof. Amen. All the way down to things we buy to put in our house. And then where we go, things we do. Everywhere we go, we're taxed. And it comes out first before you get to wear that nice pair of whatever you have on today and whatever you're getting for Easter. Amen. Uncle Sam is first. How much more important, however, that we comply with God's expectation of receiving our first fruits in our tithes and offerings. Amen. Who is Lord of our life? Is the government? Is your boss? Who is Lord of your life? His work is more important than the work of anything, any entity here on earth. So, his rewards are greater as well. God can richly bless you. Amen. His rewards, when we put him first, go far above financial blessing. This is not just talking about my financial blessing when I pay my tithe. It goes far beyond. It's a principle of the Word of God that we're putting you first in all things. And it means something to me to make sure you're at the top of the list. And then God says, then it really means something to me to put you at the top of my list in all that you do. Amen? I'm going to bless your health. I'm going to bless your family situation. I'm going to bless your job situation. I'm going to bless every relationship you have in any aspect of life because of this principle of putting me first. His rewards, like I said, are way high. Amen? Remember, he don't think like we think. Amen? His thoughts are way out there. Amen? He can create what we don't have. He wants our first fruits. We must honor the Lord. We must have honor for the Lord. Amen. In Proverbs 3, 9 through 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. God wants to fill you. Amen. With his presence. But when we put him last, he's enabled to come to your rescue. Amen? To come and hear your prayers. God is crying out within himself, saying, let me bless you. Let me be in your life. Why are you not putting me first? God is increased not only in, he's interested not only in what we bring to him, but also the order that we bring it. Amen. Do you think God needs your 10%? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Amen. He absolutely does not need your finance. But he does want your life submitted to him. Amen. And him being first in your life. It's a relationship thing. You know how it is when you're the person that you love doesn't put you first in anything. It's not easy, is it? It's difficult when that relationship is not where it needs to be. And we put them on the back burner. Or we are being put on the back burner by the ones that are supposed to love us. And it's an uncomfortable situation. Tithing the first fruits was illustrated long before the law. Amen. It was Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, the king of Salem, long before the law of Moses. In Genesis 14, 18 through 20, it says, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out the bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. Amen. And he blessed Abraham, saying, blessed be Abraham by the God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And praise be to God. Amen. God is in charge. He's Most High. Deliver you your enemies into your hands. See? It's more important than just our finance. Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. Amen. Because God was taking care of him in all of his battles, all of his situations. It was meaningful to him because he knew who was in charge. He knew who was going to take him to the next battle. And all in between, Brother Pritt. He's got his angels watching over us because of a simple principle of putting God first. Amen. When you do that, God is delighted in blessing you. He's delighted in working in your life, working for your benefit. Amen. God wants to work on your behalf. But he knows where you are in this principle of life. Amen? No, there's no secrets with God. You may fool everyone here, but you ain't fooling God. Amen? God knows, and he takes record. Amen? Everything we do is recorded in heaven. That's why the blood's so important. Because that blood erases some of those things that he can't see anymore. Amen. That's why I need baptized in Jesus' name. Because I got a record book in heaven. Woo! I want that thing to say good things. Well done, good faithful servant. Amen. It is important, folks. We must not be in the position of robbing God. Yeah. How many has ever been robbed in your life? Somebody has taken something from you without your permission. There's a few of us. I had somebody come in and ransack my house one time. Took all the kids' savings, penny banks, and gone. All my wheat penny coins that I had saved, all that was just gone. House was a ransacked mess when we came in the door. You talk about feeling violated. That was an awful feeling. And it took years for me to regain my family's faith that everything was going to be all right. We had to have the locks changed, you know, just making sure everything was secure. You know, it's a horrible feeling being robbed. The idea of robbing God seems repulsive to us. It's like, who would do that? Who would rob God? Who would steal from God? In fact, no Christian would consider robbing a bank just because finances were slim and expensive, and your expenses were too high. You just don't think about, maybe you do, and there's an altar here, you can come up later and repent. But it's just, that's just insane. Because that would ruin your life forever. Sitting behind steel bars and eating three meals a day, a hot and a cot, in a pot. It's a miserable life when we can simply do the principles that God sets before us and honor him, and the blessings flow. God wants us to put him first. He wants to prove himself. Amen? That he will take care of your needs. Amen? He will do it. God will come through. Sometimes Christians hold back God's tithe when finances are tight. When it just, I don't know how, God, you're going to do this. Well, hold on. Let him show you. Because you have the word of God to stand upon. God, lay your bills out on the table. God, this whole month I've put you first. I've sought you. I've prayed. I've put what you asked of us out there. And Lord, I don't see how this is going to come about. I can't see it in my own human thought, intellect. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I do know your word never fails. How many can stand upon that word? Knowing that his word will not forsake you. I do know that, God. And I'm going to stand here and trust you that you will come through. And then all you got to do is wait. Wait and believe. And God will meet your need. He may not come when you want him, but he's always right there when you need, when it's time. Amen. So just put God to the test. Amen. This is one area in our spiritual walk with God that we can put him to the test in giving. In the other areas, you're walking on thin ice. But with God and giving, you can put him to the test. I challenge you to put him to the test. Amen? I challenge you to put God to the test in your giving, in what God requires of you. Amen. We would never rob God. In Malachi 3, 8 and 9, it says, will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse. These are not my words, folks. Your whole nation, because you are robbing me. See, here's the thing. It doesn't just affect you. The blessings of God flow to the nation. Your world. Amen? By what you do, how you put God in place in your life. Where is he at in your life right now? Amen? Is God second string? Is he just a thing to do? One more appointment on your schedule this week? I got to go to church. It's time. You know? Or is it something that you can't wait to get to the house of God? It's a first fruit. God, oh my, thank you for the blessings today. I can't wait to be in your house and do what you called me to do and what you're asking of me. Amen. Because of what you've done for me. Amen. I want what you have in my life, what you can do in my life. Amen. I want those blessings in my life. This response from the Lord was to question concerning how they might return to him from a backslidden state. Amen. He was trying to pull them back. God cares about you, even when you're not where you need to be. Amen. He's not like we are with our children. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 2.5, 3. Wait a minute. 1. No. God don't play those games. He will not count at all. He means business when he says when his word says, I'm not going to do it. You're not going to get what you're crying all about here, Junior. Daddy means business. And he is bound by his word. When he speaks his word, it's forever settled. It's word, it's written, it's done. He can't go back on that word. Amen? God never returns to erase his word. Amen? What he has spoken, this Bible has been around forever, at least in my life. It's a forever written, settled agreement, and he honors it. He hopes that we honor it because of the blessings that flow to us. He promised blessings in Malachi 3:10-12. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be a flood of there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see, here it is, if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough for you to store it. It will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. That's a pretty awesome promise of God, isn't it? Amen. That goes beyond my financial life, doesn't it? He's going to bless your land, your fruit, all the things of your life by this one simple putting God in the very first in all your life, every part, every aspect. Amen. God, you're first. God, I want to do what you want me to do first. And I'm going to do my best in it when I do it. I'm not going to throw a fit about it. I'm not going to cry and moan about it. I'm going to do it with joy. Amen. The same promises of God's blessing for giving are in the New Testament as well. In 2 Corinthians 9:6-7, it says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's your attitude as well in your giving. God sees it. He knows the thoughts of your mind, my friend. He knows what you're thinking right now. God's a pretty big dude. He has abilities far beyond mine, for sure. But he can see your heart. He's seen the heart of the rich young ruler. Everything he did was to God. He did it with all of his heart. Then Jesus said, okay, that's where you are. Then sell everything you have and give to the poor and come follow me. And you'll have eternity, life with me in eternity. And the man went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. God is knocking on your door today. And maybe you're obeying and you're doing it, but your heart's not in it. Maybe you're being obedient, but deep down in here, oh, you got many other things you could do with that. Oh, I could do this and I could do that, and you know, God sees that. He sees your reasoning why you're doing, why you're here today. And he knows if your heart's in it or not. Amen? And he is asking you today, put me first. Come on, I want to bless you. Come on, I want to be Lord to you. I want to be real to you. I want to see my miraculous power work in your life. But you won't put me first. You won't put all of your life first in me, and I can do all these things that I just told you about. Put me first. We must put him first in our day. Get up in the morning. God, lead me today. I want you in my life today. Put him first in what we do, in our conversations. Amen. Put him first in our schedule of the things we time out in life. Are we early to the Indians game so that we can go get our hot dog and eat at the hamburger shop or whatever, and we get our seats and make sure we're there and so that we don't miss anything, but yet we run in 2 seconds before church? Because it was important to lay on the couch for 2 more hours and run through Facebook. Amen. God desires us putting him number one. Amen. And nothing's going to come between that. You and me, God. Nothing. No family member. No anything. No job. No girlfriend, no child, nothing. I'm not going to allow anything to come between me and you first in my life. We must trust the Lord and lean on his blessings. Put the first fruits of your talents, your abilities before God. Put those things first. Exodus 4:2 says, "Then the Lord said unto him, What is it in your hand? A staff?" He replied. Amen. God has placed things, abilities, talents into our life. The Word of God describes your abilities as spiritual gifts. God has given you abilities. Are you putting him first with those gifts? Are you putting him first with your abilities? Or are you using him as a stepping stone to get where you need to be in life? So many use the platform of singing and to get to the next level in their life, to rise to the top, and they forget about God's things, God's ways, and they walk away from the truth of the word to be accomplished in what God gave them. Amen. What is in your attitude toward your talent? Romans 12:3, and I'm closing. "For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." Instead of placing value, judgments on the different gifts, develop those God has put in your life. God will bless you if you allow him to be blessed through you. Amen. He will exalt you in due season. Amen. He knows how you can handle things. He knows your level of abilities to handle the highlight. Amen. And if we stay humbled, God will exalt us when he sees you are able and capable. You would never allow your child to go do something you know they could not do. They didn't have the ability to do. You would protect them. God is protecting us. Amen. Honor God with your talent. The greatest risk you can do is hide your talent. Amen. Let God work in your life. God bless you. Take a few moments and refresh yourself.